Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. Today is episode 2 with Eddie Wu. In this episode, we're going to talk about Eddie's ministry and his major at Southeastern Seminary. Hello, Eddie. How are you?
Doing very well, Sammy.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing your personal story in the previous episode. And in this episode, we want to know more about what you study here and how that impacts for your ministry and your life. So my first question for you is, can you tell us about your prior ministry experience?
Yes, so I used to, at the BCM, so in the previous episode I talked about I used to serve and be part of the BCM at LSU. And there I served in a couple roles. I was a family group leader. I led Bible studies. I was also part of the international ministry there as well.
International student ministry?
Yes, international student ministry, that's right. And so LSU has a fairly large number of international students, many of whom are East Asian, Chinese for the most part. And so I served with the BCM on getting them connected with our ministry to see if they would be interested in going to church, scripture. And now here in Wake Forest, I serve primarily with our church here, North Wake. And at our church, I am a small group leader, and I also serve with the youth. Shout out to Carson Cobb, our youth minister. And there I serve primarily with 11th and 12th grade men, young youth.
Right, so they must have a lot of questions.
Yes, and so that's one of the reasons why I chose to serve, particularly with the older youth, if you want to call them older high schooler kids, is first they had questions. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was huge. I was also one of those youth who had a lot of questions who I wanted answers to, and I didn't always get them in youth group. And so I wanted to be able to provide that information or that the mentorship for those youth in that stage of their life.
Okay. Among all the questions they ask, what would be the number one major question they would ask?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think a lot of them have very practical questions. And how do I live my life? What does it mean to be a faithful Christian? And then I think they also have a lot of questions about current cultural events, with, you know, what's going on in the news. And then they also have questions about their faith. Sometimes it's hard to believe in the Christian faith when their friends tell them it's a dumb faith, or when their friends mock them or make fun of them, or if they want to fit in at school, they may try to pressure them to give up certain Christian values. It's hard. It's hard to continually live that faith. And they always have questions on, how do I do this well? And then even, how do I even know my faith is real? And there, I would say a lot of youth, particularly in the junior and senior years, they're really beginning to form their identity of who they are. Who am I as a person? And they have a lot of questions about this faith that their parents have taught them and that the church has taught them. Who am I? And what does this Christian faith have to do with who I am? And how do I even know this faith is real? Why do I need to believe in this Jesus that we'll be celebrating very soon at Easter? And so they have all these questions that are being asked, and I hope that I can give them a way to, or a place to ask these questions safely and openly.
That's good. Eddie, what made you decide to major in apologetics and culture?
Yes. So I mentioned in the previous episode, apologetics for me kind of came out of a question that I had of just, is the faith that I believe in real? How do I know that this faith has any sort of reason for me to believe in it? This would kind of be, if I can reference a book, what William Lane Craig in his book, Reasonable Faith, talks about. Are there any good reasons to believe in the Christian faith? I believe that those who have faith, you know, they do have that faith, and it's real and it's very tangible. But why do we believe that's real? In particular, for my focus in apologetics and culture, I'm actually particularly focused on the problem of evil. And for me, that's a big problem, not only because it's very existentially difficult to reconcile, but it's so hard to understand why God would allow such evil to exist. I will admit, as a young man in college and in high school, I struggle with that. We hear on the news of great evil that happens in the world. We hear of suffering that occurs, and yet we want an answer. But it seems to contradict with what we know of God. And so a big part of me wanting to major in apologetics and culture is to find a better reason. Why are there good reasons for thinking God exists, and yet there is still a lot of evil in the world as we see? And I know that the problem of evil for some people can be a deal breaker. There are some atheists who say that the problem of evil has caused them not to believe in the Christian faith anymore. And I would like to remove that stumbling block from them as if possible. In particular to culture, I was really interested in culture, particularly in technological culture. As technology is quickly advancing and we have faster computers, faster processors, smarter computers even, computers that talk back to you now. How do we understand these things? How do we as a culture grasp and use technology well? And so I would say culture is also a big part of my studies as well.
What do you think the biggest spiritual needs among Asian Americans, and why do you think so?
That's a tough question. I think it really can be subjective. Some Asian Americans have different spiritual needs. I think broadly, I could say that Asian Americans need to be bold. That's a big spiritual need, bold in their faith, particularly second generation Asian Americans who come from homes that are not Christians. It's difficult to be bold in their faith when their parents and their family members don't agree with them and think of the faith as useless and not necessary. So boldness in their faith, I think, would be probably the biggest spiritual need. I would also like to see more spiritual needs, and I think there's also spiritual need in prayer life and spiritual life and quietness. As Asian Americans, we tend to be very focused on school, education, our jobs, and it's difficult to find time to be with God. And God desires a personal relationship with all of us. So we should want to make time for him. But it seems like it can be a foreign concept for Asian Americans, I think.
Now, you're majoring in apologetics and culture, and especially a technological culture, but I have some question about the culture.
Yes.
I mean, you in the previous episode, you said you're living between the two different cultures, your parents' culture, mm-hmm. American culture, I would say maybe Eastern culture and American or Western culture. How do you see the difference between Eastern culture and Western culture, maybe theoretically and also your experientially? And how are second-generation Asian Americans affected between these two different cultures?
Yeah, so I'll try to answer it. I think most of it will come from my experience. I think for a lot of Eastern culture, there's a heavy emphasis, particularly East Asians, on this idea of honor and shame. And whatever you do needs to bring honor to your family and to your family name. And so your family name has a much higher value in an Eastern context than it would in a Western context. So for example, if I were to get a job or to major in something, I would want to do it so that it brings honor to my family name. Not doing so otherwise would bring great shame. And that could be very, very difficult to deal with. I think Asian cultures also more collective in their thought, and that kind of goes back to the idea of honor and shame, is that they think more collectively. Whatever I do must be for the collective good. In a Western context, that might be more individualistic. I do what I'm passionate about. I do what makes me happy. And so there you already have two very different mindsets that are fighting with each other. I think in Eastern cultures, there's also, like I said, a big emphasis on family, but it also carries into how we think about family in the afterlife. There's maybe a bit more family worship. Ancestor worship is very prevalent in most Eastern contexts. In America, we do remember our ancestors, but maybe not to the same level. I would also say in Eastern cultures, education and achievement are placed very highly. And so what you do with your life, what kind of job you have, how you perform academically is placed at a much higher standard than maybe personal happiness or personal goals. While in a Western culture, maybe not nearly as high. So I would say that for a second generation Asian American, you're just stuck between those two competing thoughts. And so as a second generation Asian American, I do have passions. I do have things that I'm passionate about and that I want to pursue. But at the same time, I do also feel that pressure of, well, does it honor the family? Does it look good academically? Is it something good that brings honor or shame upon my family name? And so all those thoughts are also going in the background while I'm also thinking about what I want to do in the future. And so they kind of create a a tension that just, it's really difficult to remove. That tension is almost always there. It doesn't seem to ever go away.
Wow, that's good. Do you have any exciting stories of what God is doing at your ministry or at your study?
Yes, yes. So I teach youth at our church, like I mentioned, and what I've actually been able to do, and this is a big thank you to our youth minister, Carson, is he allows me to teach a apologetics curriculum. And so I was able to somehow convince him that apologetics was important. And he allowed me to kind of create a curriculum and to come up with topics. And he also agreed on them as well. And we talked about these. And I've been able to actually teach apologetics to our youth. And I think what a great time to teach them, specifically as they are still young. Their minds are still being formed by the world around them. And this is a great time to kind of show them that the faith isn't just blind faith. Maybe there are good reasons for believing in their faith. And one of the really cool things that I get to see when I teach apologetics to young people is, man, they have so many questions. Even after the first question is asked, they have more questions that come up as you bring up new topics and new things, and they can handle it. You might think apologetics is only for the really elite and really smart folks in seminary, but no, your young people can also understand the arguments. They know how to think through these things. You just have to be able to present it to them. And so I've had so many things that we presented to our youth that I thought, there's no way they're going to get this. And then they do understand it, and they want more. They want more reasons to think that their faith is real. And so that's extremely exciting for me to see. And so as I'm studying in the PhD program, I might be thinking some of my stuff might be too advanced or a little too academic, but really they can understand it. And it's fun to be able to bridge that gap between the academic world and teaching in the real world.
What are some challenges do you see in your ministry using apologetics? Or
I think one of the big challenges is to convince people that apologetics is important still. I think we do live in a culture where sometimes we just say our faith is our faith and we don't need reasons to believe, or we can have blind faith, as some people would say. And I would say, you know, that sure, we don't have to have apologetics, but it is a fruitful ministry. It is a fruitful way to teach our congregation that we can relate to the world. I think the world right now is very much focused on science and math as a way to know all things. If you talk to your everyday person on the street, they would say, yeah, I believe that science does have the answers to a lot of our questions and can answer a lot of things. But I would say there's some things that science just can't answer and that only faith can answer. But in order to know what faith to listen to, because there are a lot of faiths out there, and we believe that the Christian faith is the faith you should listen to, are there any reasons to believe in the Christian faith? I believe the only way to actually recognize that this is needed is to actually evangelize, is to talk. And when you talk with other people, you hear their questions, you hear what they struggle with and what questions they have for the Christian faith. And this would be maybe what Francis Schaeffer would call pre-evangelism. You're setting the ground for the gospel and you're kind of figuring out where the questions are. And you don't know this until you actually go out and ask people, what about the Christian faith do you have trouble believing? It might be the problem of evil. It might be the faith just seems weird. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? And all these questions, I think apologetics lends a lot of value to.
How does discipleship look like using apologetics?
I think discipleship is reminding whoever it is that you're discipling that your faith isn't just, or it is a feeling, but it can be more than a feeling. God calls us to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And I think apologetics helps us to love God with our mind well. And so I would say discipleship looks like teaching whoever it is you're discipling what it means to love God with your mind well. Apologetics isn't always for converting. I would say if you're using apologetics to convert or to win an argument, you've done it wrong. But rather apologetics is for yourself. And for the Christian is to help remind them that their faith is real and that the God they claim is a true God who exists, who really did send Jesus to die on the cross and did really raise him to life on the third day. And those are all important facts and that apologetics can help speak to.
So do you think that apologetics has a huge benefit for Asian Americans in their own context, cultural context?
Yes, I think apologetics can help Asian Americans because, for one, Asian Americans are kind of fighting a battle of what culture do I need to be part of? the Asian culture or the American culture. And it's hard to kind of see what side we should land on. Obviously, there are some things in the American culture that apologetics would say that's not the Christian faith. But it also speaks to the Asian faith as well. There are some things about Asian religions that are very deep into Asian traditions. A lot of things that we do in Asian traditions come from our Asian faith. And apologetics can help point out when some of those things are not Christian, are not what God calls us to, or maybe we're doing them and they have a religious background that we're unaware of, and we wouldn't know unless we spend a little bit of time studying that faith. And apologetics helps us to understand, okay, where are those points, and then how do we respond lovingly and carefully, right, to those parts where we maybe don't agree with.
Yeah, that's great. For me, I have not really seen a lot of Asian American apologetists,
mm-hmm, right? Yes.
Yet, but people like Ravi Zacharias. I mean, mm-hmm, he's Asian Indian, but I've listening to his apologetic lectures on different religions and all of that. It was fascinating because he knew his background, his Hindu and the Muslim. He had a great understanding of that, but also a great understanding of Christianity. He could make a really good comparison between two, and it was very clear. So I think there's a great area for Asian Americans to not only to understand apologetics, but also use it for ministry.
Yes, yes, I think Asians have a very unique place where, right, they're kind of in between two cultures, and they kind of understand both the Asian culture and the American culture. And they can kind of speak about both. They have more experience in both. And I think that's something that should not be ignored. A lot of American apologetists, or even European ones, they don't truly understand the Asian culture. It's kind of hard to understand the Asian culture unless you've lived it, unless you've experienced it. And I think that's a big advantage that Asian Americans have in the apologetic field.
Right. Eddie, well, thank you so much for sharing. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.